Tonight, let's go to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 tonight. In Genesis chapter 12, we're going to see how faith equals trust. How faith equals trust. Looking at the life of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. So Genesis chapter 12, starting at verse number 1. The Bible records, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, "Unto thy seed will I give this land." And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Father, we do ask that you would bless our time together, bless the reading of your word, guiding, Lord, our hearts and our thoughts according to your will. Father, we do ask that you establish our thoughts, because we do commit this hour unto you. Father, we want you to teach us by your Spirit, Lord, the truths of faith. Father, we're all very familiar with faith. But Father, help us to see how faith truly equals trust tonight. Father, as always, we want Christ to be lifted up and you glorified, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we already understand tonight that faith is very important to our trust in the Lord. When I think about faith, Abraham being considered the father of faith, I think about Joseph in the New Testament, where he contemplated putting away Mary when he found out Mary was great with child before they were married. He contemplated just putting her away, calling off the wedding and everything, but God appeared to him in a dream and spoke to him and told him not to be afraid of taking Mary to be his wife, because she was great, yes, with a child, but that child was the Holy One, the promised Messiah. And by faith, Joseph, trusting what he was being told by the Lord, he took Mary unto him to be his wife, but did not, as the Bible uses the word, did not know her until after she brought forth her firstborn. Mary herself, having faith, trusted what the angel Gabriel had told her, that she would conceive by the Holy Spirit, and that conception would be the Son of God, would be Jesus Christ. Many throughout Bible history and just throughout the history of the world have truly trusted the Lord, and that is faith. Faith equals trust, because we're trusting the one who has spoken to us. We're trusting the one who is guiding us. We're trusting the one who is providing for us. Even in the Old Testament, Joseph, being one of the sons of Jacob, when he was hated by his brothers and sold into slavery, he just kept trusting the Lord. And the Bible records of him that everywhere he went, Potiphar's house, the hand of God was upon him, because he just kept living by faith. You know, not knowing why his brothers hated him so much, not knowing what God was doing, but he knew that God was going to do something in his life, because God had revealed some dreams to him. He didn't know how it was going to play out, didn't know exactly what God was going to do, but in the end, he was, I guarantee you, he was grateful that he remained faithful to his faithful God, as he was put into a prominent position, number two in Egypt, just under Pharaoh, as he would help help the people to survive through 7 years of famine. And no doubt God was using that to help Jacob and the rest of the family. But Joseph had trusted the Lord by faith, and God showed himself faithful. Tonight, as we use Abraham as the example of faith, because he is the father of faith, we see again that faith does equal trust. I can say that I have faith, but if I never put my faith to work, then it's dead faith. And James talks about exercising our faith, and tonight we'll see just that. Again, as we think about the Christmas season really is all about faith. It took faith for the shepherds to leave the field, to go down into Bethlehem, to even search out what the angels had told them. Again, it took faith for Mary and Joseph as they had to travel 90 miles from Nazareth up to Bethlehem during the time when, you know, she was at the time that any moment she could bear that child that was in her womb, yet just trusting God that, you know, God knew what he was doing, allowing this taxing to come about in that time to make them have to travel during that time. And again, travel over tough terrain, yet the Lord provided for them. Probably not exactly what, you know, most expecting mothers would want, right, to be in a stable with other animals when you are expecting a child. But it's exactly what the Lord had provided for them, and they were grateful for it. Again, faith does equal trust. How is your faith tonight? How is my faith tonight? Does it truly trust the one that it believes in? Looking back at verse number 4 of Genesis chapter 12, we see it does take faith to follow. As Abraham is told by the Lord to leave where he's at, notice in verse 4, Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. He departed. God told him to leave where he was at and to just follow, and he did. Faith always follows in obedience. Even if we don't understand, even if we don't know the outcome, yet if we believe that God is leading us, then our faith can trust what God is telling us. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, it says this of Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Faith equals trust, which is obedience. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Now, I'm like most people, and I like to know what the outcome's going to be so I can plan for it. But sometimes God does not allow us to know the outcome because he wants us to trust him. Again, you think about the life of Abraham, we'll get to it, but Abraham was tested in a great way when God asked for his only son, Isaac, and God considered Isaac his only son because that was the promised son, and God wanted Abraham to give Isaac back. You think about another parent who was willing to give their child up, and that was Hannah, because her womb had not bared children at all while her husband's other wife was bearing children. She had a desire to be a mother, and she was willing to let the Lord have Samuel back if God would just let her have some time as a mother. And God gave her time to be a mother. She had Samuel. She raised Samuel until the moment he could be weaned from her and not need really the nurturing of the mother. And she took him back to the temple, gave him over to Eli the priest to continue being raised by Eli, just trusting that God would take care of him, not even knowing that God had already ordained him from the womb to be the next prophet and the last judge of Israel before they would have their first king. Again, does our faith truly trust our God? If it does, then there should be some obedience in our life that we do follow the Lord in all our ways. James chapter 1 verse 22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Again, our faith being exercised in obedience, just like Abraham exercised his faith, not knowing where he was going, but just did what the Lord told him to do. Look, if you would, at Proverbs chapter 3. Keep a finger in Genesis, but go to Proverbs chapter 3. Because our faith is not only exercised in obedience, but also exercised in trust. Hence, the title tonight, Faith Equals Trust. In Proverbs chapter 3, in verses 5 and 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." That is very important for the Christian tonight, to fully trust God with all of their heart. That means there's no reservation, there's no doubt, there's no questioning, fully trusting the Lord and what the Lord has in store. And I'm sure in your lifetime, there's been moments in your life where you had to fully trust the Lord, not knowing what the outcome was going to be, not knowing how something would, you know, pan out, not knowing, you know, what was going to come about, but you just knew if God was in control, everything would be okay. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's important for us tonight because God does recognize our faith, and God will direct our paths if we'll follow by faith, if we'll truly exercise our faith toward him and trust him in our obedience and trust him in trusting him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Again, when I think about just Mary and Joseph, they truly had to trust the Lord. Though they would be ridiculed, though Joseph would be ridiculed for, in the eyes of man, marrying a woman that supposedly fornicated before their marriage because she was found with child, she was pregnant, everybody knew it. That is why later on, those Pharisees ridicule Jesus and say, "We be not of fornication." They were insinuating that Jesus was brought about through fornication. Saying is that it doesn't matter what other people think. It may not make sense to us, but if God is in it, if God's directing it, we can trust him and we can follow by faith and truly obedience. Our obedience to God proves our faith in God and what God wants us to do. Not only was Abraham following by faith, but he was expecting something because of his faith. Go back and look at Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 2. Verse number 4, he departed, he trusted the Lord by departing where he was at to go into the land of Canaan. And his faith was expecting God to do something because God's the one that ordered him to leave where he was at. Do you expect God to do something in your life? Do you expect God to do something in those situations that you find yourself in that God has led you to? Abraham will find himself in different predicaments that God's led him to. Some he'll pass, some he'll fail when he, you know, wants his wife to lie and just say, you know, "You're my sister," that way they don't kill me. And yet God has to protect Sarah from being taken advantage of. But Abraham was expecting God to do something. In verse 2 it says, God says, "I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." This is what God says to Abraham. "I will bless you. You'll be a great blessing to others as well." So Abraham was expecting God to fulfill what he said, so he was willing to follow what God told him to do. What has God promised you? God has promised you that he'll always be there with you. He'll always provide for you. God has promised to do great and mighty things in your life for our good and his glory. Therefore, we can always exercise our faith in trusting and in obedience, following the Lord. And it truly, Our faith in action proves if we truly do trust God and believe in what God has said. Abraham's faith produced a friendship with God because he trusted him. In Isaiah 41, verse 8, the Bible says, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." Again, that's a wonderful title to be given by God, my friend. Now, we have a lot of friends. You have friends outside this church. I have friends outside this church. But we know the greatest friend is Jesus Christ because he's always there for us. I mean, again, it's a wonderful thing to know that God would consider us his friend because of our faithfulness to him, because of our faith in him, our faith being exercised in the relationship that we have with God. Again, a lot of people tonight have religion. They're trusting in religion and not a relationship with God. Some are even trusting in just, you know, God needs to be there when I need him and only when I need him. And they're not enjoying the fullness of this relationship with God. Again, faith is trusting in the one who has brought us into a relationship with him. Because tonight, if we have fully trusted him for our Savior, we've fully trusted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, then what is it we cannot trust him for? Abraham, again, being considered the father of faith, will trust God when God even asks him to do something that would be very difficult for any parent, but yet fully trusting that what God wants, it'll be okay. Again, in Genesis chapter 15, it says of Abraham, he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness, his faith. He believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says this, by faith he, Abraham, sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Romans 4:3 says, For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Again, our faith being exercised in obedience and trust to God, and it brings us to, when you look here in back in Genesis chapter 12, it brings us to Abraham having the faith to travel, to leave where he was. Again, verse 4 says, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And again, in Hebrews 11, verse 9, as we just read, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise. Faith to travel because I'm trusting the one who's leading me. The Christian life is an exciting life. Sometimes it can be a trying life. Sometimes it can be a testing life. But it is an exciting life because it's a life that is led by our Savior. It's a life that's led by our Savior. It's a life that is fulfilled by our Savior. As he said, he came to give life and to give it more abundantly. And you and I experience more of the new life through our faith in following the Lord. Abraham followed the Lord when the Lord told him to leave where he was at. He traveled by faith and he was tested. His faith was tested. In verse 10 of the same chapter, Genesis chapter 12, it says, there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. He should not have went down into Egypt. Again, Egypt is a picture of the world. Egypt, obviously, is a picture of slavery and bondage. It is where God brought his people out of. Yet, because of the famine, just like Hannah just like many others, their husbands and stuff, not Hannah, but Naomi's husband, when there was a famine, took his family down into Egypt. Now, God used it for good, and God moved in the heart of Ruth, who would become the wife of Boaz, great-grandmother to King David, and be in the line of Christ. But God never wants us to turn from him to trust in the riches of the world and to trust in the provisions of the world. And that's what Abraham did. He left where he was and he went down into Egypt instead of trusting the Lord. Again, do we believe tonight that God has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you? Do we believe tonight that the Bible does tell us, my God shall supply all of your need? We should never turn back to the old ways to find comfort or to find provisions when we're lacking it. We should always be looking up to the one who brought us out of bondage. But it seems like even from the beginning when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, that 3 days in the wilderness being led by God, they're talking about going back to Egypt because they remember the leeks and the onions. But they had forgotten about the bondage they were in. They had forgotten about the taskmasters because they were trying to satisfy their flesh. And God wanted them to walk by faith and follow, continue following that pillar of fire by day, that pillar of cloud by night. Continue following the one true living God who had the right hand, had the power in his right hand to bring them out of slavery. But again, Abraham's faith was tested. And when he gets down there, if you read the rest of the chapter, he gets down to Egypt. And again, he sins. He causes Sarah to lie about him because he was afraid of dying. If we are in the center of God's will, and you know you're in the center of God's will, even if you're surrounded by famine, yet I'm in the center of God's will and I believe God will take care of me, then there's no need to find yourself sinning against God, lying, trying to provide for yourself, trying to provide protection for yourself, other than you're out of the will of God. You have purposely moved out from under the shadow of his wings. Again, Abraham's faith is tested. I mean, again, by faith he obeyed God. He left where he was at, but when his faith was tested, he failed. He failed in not trusting the Lord. Somebody once said, a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Again, Abraham would. He failed. He went down to Egypt. He caused his wife to lie. He put her in danger, her life in danger. God protected her. God moved in the heart of Pharaoh. Abraham and Sarah and all that they had were able to leave. All right. But he didn't learn his lesson because he would cause her to lie another time. What I'm saying is that if we fail a test, that test is going to come back around because God wants us to pass the test. He wants us to pass the test with faith. And that test comes around again, and Abraham fails it. But aren't you glad that we serve a God of grace? Of God of grace that even though I may fail the test twice, He's not like a high school teacher that's going to flunk you for the whole grade. He's going to keep working on you and help you and me to master that test, to get to a point where we pass that test so you and I can continue walking by faith, trusting and obeying the Lord. Now, there's three tests that we see in Abraham's life. The first one is the test of truthfulness. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 10, again, there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. In verse 13 of the same chapter, it says, say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. That was the test that he had failed. But then he had a test of generosity in chapter 13 of Genesis in verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Remember the account where Abraham and Lot, they have to separate because their herdsmen are fighting because there's just not enough water. There's not enough room for all of their belongings and all their livestock to be together. But Abraham, even though he should have, being the uncle, being the elder, he should have gotten first choice, yet he was generous and allowed his nephew, Lot, to take first choice. Now listen, sometimes people aren't generous because they see, their eyes see what they can have and they fail to see what God wants to give them. Now Lot chose based on what his physical eyes saw. It left Abraham with the desert, with the wilderness, with seemingly nothing. But when Lot departed from him, God spoke to Abraham and said, look to the north, look to the south, look to the west, look to the east, look all around. I'm going to give it all to you. Everywhere your foot trods, I'm going to give it to you. And the promised land, Canaan, is going to be given to God's people in the end, exactly how God wanted it to be divided up. I'm just saying that sometimes our faith is tested through generosity. Now, we can reason with ourselves and among our within ourselves saying, I just can't do that. I can't go that extra mile. I can't give that. I can't do that because, and we can reason within ourselves and try to excuse it away. But again, remember, God is the one that provides all of our need. He is the one that supplies everything that we need. And just in reference to the roof, many of God's people have been generous. And because of your generosity and the generosity of others, we're able to get the roof fixed. We're able to get some rooms taken care of that were damaged by the water coming into the building. You're saying there's just different times in life where our generosity is tested, and usually it's tested when maybe we are, I know in my case, when you're facing a financial difficulty or you're facing some extra bills, it seems like the test of generosity arises, and we have to always choose to trust God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and know, okay, God, I know that if I give it, I know that you'll give it back to me. The Bible talks about that, but I don't want to just give it. I don't want to just serve to get something. I truly want to do it out of a heart of faith and out of a heart of obedience and trust because you deserve everything. Yeah, it's a test of truthfulness, it's a test of generosity, but also a test of patience. And maybe many of us tonight need our patience. Maybe not so much continue to be tested, but Lord, help my patience to be strengthened because I keep failing the test of patience. In Genesis chapter 13, it says of Abraham, the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. The seed of the people of faith. The people of faith. Abraham being the father of faith. Obviously, he's speaking about the seed, those that would follow the Lord by faith. Again, but his test of patience is God says, I'll give you all the land, every direction you go. And just he would continue just to travel until the day the Lord took him home. Again, as we continue to travel this journey of life, it is many times a test of patience where we have to wait upon the Lord. And that is why Isaiah chapter 40 and 30, verse 31 is so important that we continue to rely upon the Lord and continue to allow God to strengthen us through patience. In fact, go to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 is, and verse 31 is one of my favorite Bible verses. And believe me, it's not because I have mastered it. It's one that I quote to myself quite often. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Many people faint because of not having enough riches, earthly riches. Again, when you think about Abraham, Abraham journeyed. He lived in tents. He never lived in a city. Never had a permanent dwelling place. He was a sojourner. And as God's people, we're called sojourners because this world is not our home. There's been a place prepared for us. There's a mansion in God's house. As we travel through this life, we are to find our strength in the Lord. Not in earthly finances, not in earthly riches, not even in earthly relationships, though God blesses us with relationships, yet our strength comes from the Lord. And as he journeyed, as Abraham journeyed in the promised land, he was patiently waiting on the Lord. And it is what helped him to continue traveling. I don't know about you, but sometimes, you know, we get weary of traveling, you know, driving in a car. I remember years ago in my early 20s when my wife and I first moved to Wisconsin, we would travel back to Mississippi and drive 14 hours straight through 900 plus miles. After working, we would get in the vehicle and we would travel 14 hours to go back to Mississippi to visit family, and then we started having children. It got a little lesser and lesser. But you know what? I remember those drives, and I remember, you know, I was all gung-ho about it, you know, as soon as we pulled out of the driveway and, you know, just traveling and getting through Illinois. And by the time we got down to a town in Missouri, I had had it with driving, and it had only been 6 hours. I still had 8 more hours to go. And by the time I hit the Mississippi border, I had really had it. What I'm saying is that traveling in this world, sometimes we get to a point where we've had it. And it's only by the Lord's strength that we can continue journeying in this life, knowing that there is something at the end of this life that is well worth the journey. Now, we've already got the gift of salvation as God's people, as being born again. But there's something about this journey that helps us to keep pressing on. And it is the strength of the Lord. It is relying upon the Lord. It is having our faith truly trusting in the Lord. You go back to Genesis. In fact, look at Genesis chapter 22. As we come to the end of the message, I want you to think about Abraham's faith to trust God in being willing to follow through in sacrifice. In Genesis chapter 22. Because in your life, there are many sacrifices that you have given. Might be financial sacrifice, might be time sacrifice, might be sacrifice of your possessions. Many sacrifices, and God considers it a sacrifice when we give to the Lord, because it is our reasonable service to be living sacrifices to the Lord, to let God use our life however he wants to. In Genesis chapter 22, look at verse 1 through 3. And it came to pass that after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, and notice God tempted him, tempting to see if he would trust God and what God was going to ask him to do. Again, a faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. Now listen, God already knew, before I finish reading, God already knew how Abraham was going to respond to God's request. Again, God is not, okay, well, I got to see, you know, how good their faith is, you know, because I'm not quite sure if they really trust me. God already knows how much we trust him. And God truly wants our faith to be very strong, very obedient, very trusting in him. He truly wants us to have a pure faith. A pure faith. But God still gives us those opportunities, as he's going to give Abraham the opportunity to decide, what are you going to do? Who are you going to trust more? Your lack of understanding, or are you going to trust the wisdom of God? And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. He said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Now you see just in Abraham's faith, there's no hesitation. Now it doesn't tell us at what time of day God spoke to Abraham and said, this is what I want you to do, but it does tell us that he rose early the next morning. He rose early in the morning to accomplish, to fulfill what God had asked. Obedience truly is the best way to show that we believe, but not just obedience, but obedience that is exercised or that is completed quickly. Because, you know, just thinking me as being a parent, when I've ever asked any of my children when they were little to do something or to stop doing something, I expected obedience immediately. And if there was any dragging of the feet, right, if there was any, you know, resistance, well, that wasn't obedience, and it was dealt with. Because as a parent, you want your child to obey right away. And Abraham shows that that is the best way to show that we truly do believe and trust God. He was willing to rise up early. And some, well, you know, Abraham's never been asked to do what I've had to do. You know, sometimes we try to justify why we don't do something because nobody understands how hard it is and nobody. Abraham, again, is being asked by God to do something out of the ordinary. He's being asked to do something that to a parent, to a father, especially a father like Abraham, who was in his late 90s when he had his first son, is being told by God, I want you to do this. No questions asked. Abraham rises up early. Because honestly, just as Samuel would later tell King Saul that God would rather have obedience instead of sacrifice, God truly does evaluate our life upon our obedience through faith. Because if we truly do believe God, then we truly will obey whatever God asks us to do. And God considers, obviously, what we give to him a sacrifice, and he is asking Abraham to offer up Isaac, to offer up the promised son. And we know that it is a picture of Jesus Christ being offered up for us as a sacrifice. But Abraham was willing to do it. In Hebrews 11 and verse 17, it says, By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Again, Abraham just believed, okay, if God's asking me to do this, then there must be a reason, and God will just raise him up from the dead because God had promised me a son. Isaac was the promised son, and he just trusted the Lord. Listen, I mean, look, this is convicting to me because God's not into excuses. And many of God's people give him excuses of why they don't do things for him. I'm too old, I have health issues, I have family to take care of, and all these things. We have things in our life that we'll use as an excuse why we can't do things for the Lord. And God's not into excuses because God has given us so much. God did not hold anything back from any of us. He has expressed his complete love to every one of us, and he offers the provisions of our life that we need. Obviously, the gift of salvation through Christ, God's love was manifested, but sometimes, you know, I just know of some of God's people that get mad and they think, well, I'm just going to, you know, show God and I'm just not going to do what God wants. You're not hurting God. You're hurting yourself. It's just like when somebody wants to be mad and bitter at somebody else, they think, well, I'll show them. Well, you're not hurting them. You're hurting yourself. Because bitterness eats up the person that's holding on to the bitterness. What I'm saying is that Abraham shows us something through his complete obedience and his obedience to respond to God as early as he can. And as early as he can was the next morning. He gathers everything that he possibly needs and he just sets off in the direction that God has given him with Isaac. Now, obviously, when you get to Isaac and you get to the place where they're on Mount Moriah and Abraham has built the altar and he's laid the wood in order, he binds his son. There's not, listen, Abraham at this point, he's over 100. Now, he's still fit. I mean, he's still, you know, he's not having any health issues right now. I mean, he's a fit man, but listen, Isaac is a young man that could easily run away, that could easily resist his father as he's watching his father build this altar. And I don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us, but maybe Isaac also was helping Abraham to build the altar. Because apparently, when you read Scripture, you can see that Isaac was obedient in allowing him to be that sacrifice. He did not resist his father, because again, if someone does not want to do something they don't want to do, they resist. That's just human nature. We resist what we don't want to do. And what we do want to do, we always give in to it. We'll always surrender to it. And when you look at Scripture, that's exactly what I believe Isaac had been taught from a young age by his father, who followed and trusted God, was that, Isaac, you can always trust God even when you don't understand. And Isaac allowed himself willingly to be that sacrifice. Now, you and I already know God already had a ram, already had a substitute ready to be put in the place of Abraham. But listen, the point tonight is faith equals trust. Abraham trusted God. Isaac trusted God. And they both did not resist what God's will was. And they both were blessed by God. Because Isaac walks away after being bound on the altar. His life is spared. Abraham's son's life is spared. They both get to go back home together, having their faith even strengthened more. And that is the point. We are worshiping the Lord through this season of Christmas because of faith. Because of faith. Because Mary believed and submitted herself to the Lord and the Lord's will. Joseph believed and submitted to the will of God in becoming the husband of Mary. So that, obviously, there's the two lines of Christ, Mary and Joseph, the two bloodlines of Christ. I'm saying is that, how is our faith tonight? Are we truly trusting the Lord in all situations, in all areas of our life? Again, I can't change the past. Can't change where I didn't trust, but from this moment on, I can be more faithful in trusting and obeying the Lord. Again, when you think about just Abraham's faith in the ultimate request that God asks of him, obviously Isaac being willing to lay down his own life and the ram being the substitute. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, again, God's not going to ask us to do something that he's not going to help us to accomplish it. Now, sometimes, you know, you may be asked by someone to do something that they never would do, and they won't even help you do it, they just want you to do it. Yet God always helps us to accomplish what he wants us to. But in 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, we're reminded, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Listen, if God loves us that much, that he's going to send his only begotten Son to deliver us from bondage, deliver us from the penalty of sin because of our faith in him, what is it that he's not going to help us with? Again, faith truly does equal trust. And in order for someone to be saved, we know it takes faith. It takes them trusting what they're being told by God through the scriptures and being told, you know, by one of God's people, trusting that Jesus truly did die for their sins. Our trust shouldn't stop there. Our faith should continue to trust the Lord in the things that he asks us to do. And some things are hard in our eyes, but yet not for God. When I think about the children of Israel not wanting to go into the promised land because they heard about the giants by the 10 spies that told them about the giants, yet Joshua and Caleb, they were more focused on God. And guess who got to go into the promised land? Only Joshua and Caleb out of those 12 spies. The other 10 didn't get to go into the promised land 40 years later. Sometimes we miss out on the blessing of God because of our lack of faith. It's not the lack of God's power. God truly wants our faith to truly equal trusting him.